Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello everybody and welcome Episode 4 of Up the Poshcast. Today, Ashley, John, Dell, Lods, Max and me, Charlie, will be discussing three preseason games that have happened over the last week since we last filmed. Boston, Stamford and Colchester, three wins on the board, as well as Ricky J. Jones, Harrison Burrows, who has recently left us, and what it takes to be a posh club legend. So, we'll start with Boston. John, did you watch the Boston game?
I did watch it, yeah. I mean, it feels like quite a long time ago now, this Boston game, but it feels like quite a lot's happened this week. There's been a lot of friendlies, a few transfers. But yeah, so we'll go back to it. I think, obviously, the game was very much divided into two halves. The first half was all a bit manic, and it felt like a team that didn't really have any familiarity with it. It looked good going forward, and I thought Chris Conn-Clarke was probably the biggest positive to take from that first half team. I thought he looked really bright. Romany Critchlow was the biggest negative once again. I thought Critchlow was, to be honest, I don't ever really want to speak too harshly about players on this sort of platform because you don't want to spread negativity around. But Critchlow, since he came to the club, has been just terrible, to be honest. He has to go down as one of our worst signings in recent times, I think. And his performance, again, was just so poor. If it's a player that's, you know, playing for his future and wanting to force his way back into the manager's plans, he's never going to do it playing like that. I thought he again looked one of the worst players on the pitch, even against the team at that level. And I think the biggest thing for me with Critchlow is he's obviously not particularly physically imposing, and that's okay if you're great on the ball, but actually he looks terrible on the ball as well. So he doesn't seem to have any sort of redeeming qualities. And I think that performance is probably, if there was any hope of him restoring his posh career, which I don't think there was, it's probably put pay to that. In terms of the second half team, I think it looked a lot more stable. The game wasn't as exciting and it sort of petered out, but the second half team in that game was closer to what I think will be our first team come Huddersfield. And it looked like a team that had a little bit more structure to it. And the game played out in sort of a more familiar way rather than the 4-4 first half, which was just a bit of a shambles, really. So not loads you could take from it, but I think the positives were definitely Conn-Clarke. I think Kamara looked very, very good. Obviously, maybe potentially not ready for the first team yet. We haven't seen enough of him, but he took both his goals very well and didn't do his chances any harm there. Never again looked pretty assured. And I thought Manny Fernandez, who the jury's still out on, let's face it. I think most of us have some question marks over whether he can start, but he definitely looked solid and assured in that game. So you've got to give credit where it's due. And I thought Manny Fernandez put in a decent performance as well.
Yeah, I think I'll probably echo what John said there about Critchlow. I think that he obviously came in from Bradford. Well, no, not from Bradford, but from Huddersfield after a loan at Bradford. And they were all ranting and raving about him, how distraught they were not to have him back again. So the bar was probably set quite high. Obviously, he's dropped out last season. And I think the most concerning thing is that he is probably one of the most experienced players now. I'm sure that he's 25 or 26. Probably second oldest behind Steer. And then I think it's only Ajiboy that's that old. But he's putting in performances that are weaker than Ollie Rose and Jensen Sumnell. I've been impressed by both of those. We'll go on to them, obviously, when we talk about Stamford. But it's concerning to me, like John says, that we've got this experienced head. Yes, he's not played the football, not had the games in and the game time like he would have done previously at Bradford, but I just can't see anywhere. I sort of hoped that he would make a step up and be one of those ones that we did a U-turn on. It just doesn't look like it's going to be that. I mean, he's made a comedy of errors, been bullied around by the Boston team, and then it sort of just quickly went downhill when he plays a pass to a Boston player on the spot. I think the only other comment that I'd like to make on Boston is the sort of negativity towards Bilicapic. We've conceded four goals, yes, but I genuinely do not think that he was at fault for any of those. I think he's been stitched up by his teammates. One of them was a worldie. One of them was Critchlow's mistake. And the other two, I don't really remember. But if there were errors, I would have remembered them. So I think that he's getting some grief too much from fans. I think that people are probably expecting a little bit too much of him. But we'll see how the season goes.
Just with that, about Bielow, Ash, I'm going to have to agree with you. I don't think he was actually that bad, if I'm honest. Those four goals, I don't think there's much he could have done about any of them. If I'm honest, I would normally sort of criticise him left, right and centre, and as I would with anybody if they've had a bad game, but it was just one of those things. I don't think he could have done much better than that.
I think you're both right on Bilakapic, but I think what you're pointing out encapsulates sort of how difficult his task is, if he's ever going to be, to sort of make it back at Posh now, because of that Wickham game and because of the amount of errors he really made last season. And I actually think there is still some potential in Bilakapic. He needs to learn how to play out with ball at feet and things like that. But the fan base is so, there's so many like bad voices in the fan base now that if he does make an error, he's just going to get lynched constantly. And it's really hard to turn that around. So if he does come back in, he's going to have to be so stable, because people are just waiting to pounce on him and blame him for anything. And people would have not have watched that game, seen the score was 4-4 when he was in goal and blamed him. Whereas actually, if you took the goals in isolation and Jed Steer was in goal, I don't think people would be saying, oh, they're all Steer's fault. Like you say, I don't think any of them really were Bilakapic's fault. So he has a really tough task now of sort of breaking through here, despite me still having some hope that he could do it, because I do think there's some good sort of qualities that he has that could make him a decent goalkeeper in future.
Yeah, I think the issue sort of that I've got with Bielow is that it feels like he's being stitched up a little bit with who he's got in front of him. I think that if you gave him a chance with potentially Nevitt in front of him, maybe not so much Manny Fernandez where we've been going, but obviously Dornelli's a very good ball player as well. I think that when he's got Critchlow and Rose in front of him, like it's sort of like he's being set up to fail in terms of the passing out from the back. I don't want to recap on last season too much, but I just want to clarify how many goals people thought that Bielow was at fault for at Wickham. I can sort of remember Salford, he made some mistakes in the FA Cup. Obviously, that was two goals. Barnsley, people are claiming that he went off injured because he made mistakes, but it was only two of the five that I think that he made errors for at Wickham. I'm happy to be wrong on that, though.
Yeah, what a great day. But anyway, we move on. Not worried about last season now. That's done. Just going back to the Boston game as a whole, I actually got bored of it, if I'm honest. I got bored of it because it just seemed to drag. There was a few moments here and there. And if I'm honest, I didn't really get to watch much of it because I ended up being a babysitter for the majority of the game. Just wouldn't let me go, but what can I say? The youngsters I thought done quite well again, we say about Rose, and just the ones we've already been commented about. It's encouraging to see them. I'm looking forward to Notts County next week. I know we might talk about it later, but just to see what the nucleus of that team is going to be. How are we going to set up? Who's going to be on the bench? Because I do think there's going to be one or two that will surprise us. It's quite clear to see why some of the old ones are on the transfer list, because they're not even impressing during pre-season. Like you go back to last year, for example, if you remember, Fuchs was put on a transfer list, and he actually outshone during the pre-season and the early games and fought his way back into the reckoning. I can't see that happening with any of the current squad that we've got on a transfer list at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Usually people that are on the transfer list that actually care about staying at the club will absolutely bust a gut in pre-season. But it feels like for the most part, a lot of our squad are just going through the motions of pre-season, which, fair enough, I'm not going to moan and say that you know, the effort levels for pre-season are bad. You know, it is what it is. It's about fitness at the end of the day. But if there was any players like Critchlow, you know, Ajiboy to an extent, that really wanted to stake a claim during this pre-season period, I would have expected them to be playing their absolute socks off in pre-season. And I agree with you, Dale. None of the old guard that are supposedly on the way out done that for me.
I just wanted to talk about Ajiboy because I actually disagree with you in the fact that Ajiboy hasn't been busting the gut to stay. I think Ajiboy's performances have been relatively good. He's shoehorned in at the minute, of course, because we don't really have a right back. Obviously, we've got Dornelli, but that's it. So we don't really have a senior right back. I think Adebisi can play on that side, but he's obviously injured for 4 months. So we've got Ajiboy. I think Ajiboy's played really well. I think the Stamford game, which obviously I'll go on to talk about in just a moment, but I think that proved to me that the way that he was busting a gut. I mean, he scored that goal from right back towards the end. And I think actually, if you're talking about old players that are trying to stake a claim and players on the transfer list, I think it's a little bit unfair on Ajiboy, who I think's performed really, really well over pre-season. And I think that's just a testament to his ability to get on the ball and prove that he's worth something in this side.
Yeah, so we'll move on to the Stamford game now. Obviously, Posh 5, Stamford 0. Was there anybody, Max, that particularly impressed you? You know, you've touched on Ajiboy there, but who else caught your eye?
Chris Gonclark and O'Brien Brady, I think, the two big names I want to talk about, especially, and Jacob Wakeling, sorry, excuse me. But I think I'll start with Wakeling, actually, just why it's on the top of my mind. I thought he's looked smart all pre-season. I think he's looked really, really fresh. And I think he brings something that Ricky and Malik don't necessarily bring. I think Ricky obviously brings pace, and he runs at defenders, and he terrifies a lot of defenders with his pace, and Malik is really quite tricky. I think Wakeling's press is terrifying. Ricky's is as well, but I think Wakeling has a way of just being a little bit more clever on the ball, and I think that's really shown over the preseason fixtures that he's had, especially at Stamford and Spalding, where he scores basically identical goals, but he's so good at doing that it's paid off. He looks really, really sharp. Chris Conclark again. I will echo what John mentioned earlier at the Boston game. I thought he was unreal. The goal that he scored was phenomenal from distance, top corner, and that's what he's been doing all season at Ultragym. He's been doing that, and it's clear to see why we've signed him. He's a top talent. I'm really, really excited this season, and I definitely think he's going to be competing for Randall, if not on that right hand side, where I don't think we've got I think Ado's on that side, obviously playing with Poku, and we've got Hayes as well. But I think he can really compete for either side of the wing, and I think he's proved that over pre-season. I think Conclark's been amazing, and O'Brien Brady as well. I spoke highly about him. I don't think I've spoke highly about him on this podcast, but I have spoke highly about him before, and I think again he's showing how good he can be, and being a profile in that midfield. And obviously losing Fuchs, Fergie was a bit upset that he hadn't got a Fuchs profile. I think O'Brien Brady played that role really well, and actually I think he's more advanced than Fuchs was. Fuchs was like a big sort of like, I'm going to stop the ball from going anywhere near the back line sort of player, really got into it, whereas O'Brien Brady I think is a bit more clever in it, and he's able to move the ball and get it into areas where Fuchs maybe couldn't. So I think that's a massive positive, especially for a player so young. I will again echo what John said on Romelu Crichlow, although I do think he looked better in the back three, which I think we were playing at Stamford. It looked like a back three. I still don't think he's doing enough to prove that he can play for us at this level. I think Manny Fernandez is ahead of him. I don't think he's going to get his career back on track here. And if he does go, I wish him the best. But I just think really over these preseason games, and especially at Stamford and Boston, I don't think he's proved himself that, I think Ollie Rose is definitely ahead of him, same with Manny Fernandez. So I think there's definitely going to be issues there. But overall, for a team of like our reserves, I thought it was excellent. Especially those three players that I mentioned there are just, they're so, so good.
I quite enjoyed the game. It was 5-0 at half time. Second half was 0-0, I believe. I was impressed with the youngsters. Again, thought we'd done very well. Controlled the game quite well. It was pretty good. Again, I spent most of the time talking to people. But I think the only rant I really do have, and it just sounds like it's copy, paste, repeat, whatever. But Ricky, what is really not very good. I said last season on the podcast that I think I said it, Dara, I don't think he's a very good footballer. And I need to stick with that, because it just didn't look good. You know, it was, it just doesn't impress me. You know, just some of his attitude as well, like it's a friendly and they want to give away a foul rather than just like walk away. Why kick the ball away in a friendly? Why do that? You know, he went down like a sack of shit as if he's dead behind the goal. You know, the physio's come on, looked after him, he's come around, he's pissing himself laughing. You're either injured or you're not, mate. I stood next to a lady, she must have been in the 40s, and she actually said to me she could do a better job than Ricky up front. Those were her words, right? And I didn't even have to prompt her. She just said she don't like Ricky. Sorry, she didn't say you don't like him. She said he's not very good and she could do a better job. And you know what? I actually think she could have. I could have with one leg. We need better options than a Ricky up front, in my opinion.
I unfortunately couldn't attend either the Boston game or the Stanford game, so I can't comment too much. But I have seen the Ricky goal from Boston. I did see a tweet from, I think it was Scott Pears, criticising the finish of Ricky. And I don't know if as a fan base we're too harsh on Ricky. I mean, Dell did just go for him quite hard there on various things. I wonder if that was Mother's Hill and the shoe was on the other foot, whether he would get the same criticism or not. Because as much as the finish at Boston, I can see where Scott's coming from. I don't think Ricky meant to put it through the keeper's legs, if I'm being honest. But why is it being brought up? Because he scored the goal. It shouldn't matter. If he's scoring goals, it shouldn't matter how he scored it. Scoring goals as a striker should be the most important thing.
I'm not going to bore everyone. You know my thoughts on Ricky. I'm his number one fan. But I just think, like Lod said, we're just being too harsh on the lad. He's 21. I've said on a previous podcast, JCH didn't score goals in volume until he was 26 onwards. You can't compare the two. He is an asset to our team. People like, I think it's Adrian Durham, have said that he has people asking about him all the time. Like we've said before, he has the one thing that petrifies people, that you can't train. You can't make yourself faster. You are as fast as you are, but he can work on his finishing. Let's call it scruffy. The ball went in the back of the net. If he scores 30 of those this season and they all go in the back of the net, then who cares at the end of the day? The one thing that I wanted to maybe pass comment on in terms of our ratings and our comments on the new players versus the old guard and from last season is that maybe we've probably all been a little bit harsh on the players from last season, in that we're probably expecting a little bit too much from them. And obviously it is only pre-season. They're not hitting those in league levels. But I have been impressed by the new guys, by the young guys, but I think that maybe we've been a little bit harsh on the ones from last season.
Just want to come back to Ash, about Ricky. So how many years has Ricky been with us now? How many years ago was it when he started his first game for us in the first team? Four?
You tell me. It was in the Steve Evans era, wasn't it? Around then. He was a winger.
Sorry. We have the same conversation, not me and you, but generally about Ricky every year. Is an asset. People ask about him. Is an asset. People ask about him. This is going to be his year. He'd done okay last year. Was he spectacular? No. And everybody knows that Peterborough is, we're a selling club. You know, we get youngsters through, we progress them, and then they move on. Why is Ricky still here if he's that good?
You could say the same thing about Ronnie Edwards. Ronnie Edwards got to the last year of his contract before we got sold on, but we all know how fantastic he is. The issue with Ricky is that we know he should have been on a loan 2 years ago. It didn't happen. It hasn't happened. And now maybe last year, although it was for Peterborough, last year is viewed as his loan. He learned his trade. He's got however many, let's say 40 games, 50 games under his belt. We know that he's got over his injury issues, touch wood, that he was having before. He's not getting 5 minutes on the pitch anymore, is he? He's getting half an hour minimum as a substitute. Like he has to learn. And as I've said before, the only way to learn is through game time. And yes, we've missed the loan chance for him now. He's part of the first team at the end of the day. We're not sending him out. But I still think that there's chance for that to grow and to develop. And it may be another 2-3 years down the line. But at some point, he's going to start finding the back of the net. I'm confident of that.
Okay, you know, I'll give you that. But what I will agree with is his glass ankles seem to have stopped being glass ankles. So his injury is pretty good. He was always injured, wasn't he? So now it's encouraging that he's not getting injured. For me personally, the jury's still out again. I think, if I'm honest, I think this will be his last year if he doesn't really sort of improve from where he should do. I hope he does. You know, I want to see Peter Alboyd do well, but I'm not convinced. So I don't want to be too critical of him, but I just see what I say.
I think if we lose him, he goes down. Let's say he drops down to a lower level League One team or a League Two team. He becomes one that gets away, and then they end up selling him for millions of pounds. That's my only comment on it, is that at some point he's going to explode. And if that means that we have to give him another 3 years on his contract, let's give him that, knowing that he's the local lad, knowing that it's 100% profit, isn't it? If we sell him, if we lose him on a free, then it's a different story.
Okay, so wrap that up. Ricky, if you're listening, improve. Give me something to talk about, okay? And make me eat my words, all right? That is your task for this season, mate. Fuck everybody else. Listen to me, improve. I'll eat my words, all right? Good luck.
Yeah, just to sort of like finish up on Ricky, I do think we're too harsh on him as a fan base. But I do think, just to go back to Lodz's point, I think as a fan base, we do like to say what we see. And I do think if the shoe was on the other foot, I think Malik would get similar criticism, maybe not as much as Ricky, because I think Ricky has been here longer. I think that's the main thing. However, what I will say about Ricky is he does have an attribute that we can't, that we can't replace, and that is his pace. That you're not going to find someone as quick as he is. And I think if we utilize him more, because I think Malik's going to be our main man this season, if we utilize him more as that sort of substitute that's going to run at a back line, I think he's going to score a lot of goals as a substitute. I think he's going to be a real big difference maker.
Max, I can't agree with you at all. I think that Malik misses the chances that Ricky misses, and people are just like, oh, don't worry, it will come good. Because Malik's only 9 months down the line, isn't he? Like, people are bored, let's say, of Ricky. I completely disagree. I think that they are harsh on him beyond his means because he's not had that chance to explode. If he goes away, in 5 years, we end up buying him back. That's the way that I see it.
I don't think we have a chance to buy him back, Ash, if he goes away, because I think he will outgrow us. I think what people do a lot, and they make this mistake a lot, is focus on what Ricky can't do rather than what Ricky can do. And what he can do is really good. Dale, you've spoken here before, and you've said about how you value hard work over ability. You like watching players that work hard. You can't question Ricky's work rate, because he presses like an absolute maniac, which is becoming more and more important in the modern day game. He's also absolutely rapid. He's growing physically. And I think if Posh went and bought a striker with 10 goals at the age of 21 in League One, we'd all go, yeah, all right, that's a decent signing. That sounds like a Posh signing. Does anyone disagree there? If you hadn't watched Ricky play and you looked at his goal record and he was 21 and he'd scored 10 goals in League One, that's probably the sort of player Posh would look for to buy. Because we're, as a fan base, we're really harsh on him, and we've seen him since he was 17. And we know his flaws, and he does have flaws. He needs to improve his finishing. And he's not the most pretty footballer to watch. You talk about Mothersill in the comparison. Mothersill looks more technically assured than Ricky. So I think he gets away with things that Ricky doesn't, because Ricky can look a little bit clumsy. But Ricky has things that Malik can't do. For instance, he's much more physical. He engages defenders a lot better than Malik does. So they're both going to compete for the spot. I think there's question marks over them both. And I think it's only fair to say that there is still question marks over them both. And Ricky's finishing does need to improve. But he's 21, and that's what everyone forgets. And I think people just need to look aside from his weaknesses for a little bit and focus on his strengths, and you'll see why Posh value him and why Posh are putting so much time and investment into making him. Because if he does refine those weaknesses, he's going to be one hell of a player.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all fair comment. Ricky is homegrown, and I think we all love a homegrown player. And I don't think anybody is by any means saying that they want Ricky to fail at all. But I just think that the difference of opinion is strong. And I do think Mothersill is better. But Ricky definitely has potential. Dell, I know you're a big fan of Malik, but surely you've got to admit that their numbers don't look massively different over the last season.
No, I totally agree. You know, as we've alluded to there, I think Malik does look like he's got a bit more about him because of where he come from. Chelsea has had that technability trained into him, you know, and if he's shit, I'll criticise him as well. Just last thing about Rick and I'll move on is John. Yeah, I agree. He does press hard. I like that. And that is the sort of thing that I do like. So I'll agree with you there. What I do disagree with or agree with to a fashion is if we do sell him, no, we'll never buy him back because he'll be in like League Two or the Conference. So on that, I'm moving on.
Okay, we'll move on then. So obviously, Stamford was Friday night. Then on Saturday, we were meant to all be going on a trip to Colchester. But the Colchester pitch apparently gave in a few days before the game. So there was a game between Posh and Colchester at Posh's training ground. Posh apparently won, but, you know, we haven't seen much of it. And the camera footage was interesting, to say the least. So we'll ignore that game for now. And we'll talk about what the really big news was on Saturday. And that was that Harrison Burrows, last season's captain, and for me, I think the first Posh legend I've seen is my time supporting the club, parted. I was gutted, but yeah, I think a real legend, and I'm sad to see him go. And I think he's one of our own, and he definitely has that status for me. And I'll be disappointed not to see him in blue.
I will agree that I'll be disappointed not to see him in blue next season, but the legend word is being thrown around for one good season, maybe one and a half if you include the Championship season for him, is one of the wildest things I think that I've ever seen. I don't want to go too much on it and bash him because he did have a fantastic season. He was our captain. He is a local lad. All of those things that you want for your football team, but legend being thrown around for somebody that put in one good season is way off it, I'm afraid.
I mean, it's not one season, I don't think. He's been here since he was six. He's contributed to, you know, our under teams, our under eights team, our under nine teams, our blah, 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 all the way up. Scored goals for us in the Championship season when he was considerably younger than he was now. You know, scored goals. He was good in 2022 to 23, you know, I think about Barnsley away, the Wednesday first leg, very good performances. And last season was then, you know, he was a very solid player before season. And then last season was the season that he sort of, he took off. I mean, I guess people that are saying he's not a Posh club legend, response to them would be, how? And if he isn't a Posh club legend, how is he not? And then what is a Posh club legend? Because I think someone who's come through the academy, been here for 15 years or however long Burrows has been for, has to fill that mold. So what is a Posh club legend if not a player like Harrison Burrows?
I think that's such a difficult question as a Posh fan, because you've got Dell, who remembers Posh from the 80s. You've got me, Ashley, and John that remembers the 2010s and around that time when we had the initial success with Dara. And then we've got yourself, Charlie, and Max that have only been fans for the last sort of 5 years or so. And I get every football fan wants a legend at their club, but it is a really difficult criteria to sort of nail down for a club like ours when we're a selling club. I think most legends have to have a period of longevity for a start, which none of our players tend to have. I don't remember the last player that was at the club longer than five seasons. I know you've said about Burrows being here since he was six, but not as a professional. You also have to throw in the success that they've got. Burrows didn't have a great deal to do in the promotion season. So it's just whether or not you class the BSM trophy win from last season high up in Peterborough's honours lists, which I personally don't. And then for me, another thing that should make a legend is some sort of sacrifice that the player has done towards the club that has affected their life. So, for example, George Boyd, I class as a legend. We got relegated from the Championship, and Boyd could have easily left us. He was much, much better than League One. And he just had a loan at, I think it was the loan at Hull. I could be wrong there, which didn't work out. And he signed a new contract with us. And looking back, that was such a sacrifice for him, committing to staying for another couple of years. And we got promoted with him again, and we stayed up in the Championship, which is the first time that's happened for, what, like 25 years. For me, to make Burrows to be a club legend, I think he would have needed to sign a new deal last summer, and maybe given us another year and a promotion. Fine margins, I know, because we could have gone up last season, we could have gone up this season, but I don't think the BSM win is a big enough honour for him to be a club legend.
I think it also is a massive play on perspective and age as a club legend. You know, I think you're seeing really the age demographic of the word legend being used for Harrison Burrows to be, you know, mine and Charlie's age. And people that have been fans on the club for this stint. For me personally, I don't think Harrison Burrows is a club legend. I think he's going to be a player that I remember for the rest of my life, especially with the amazing memories I had, you know, watching my team win at Wembley. It was a phenomenal feeling, and really that was all him. He really, really, really gave me that memory, which I'll cherish forever. But I think really everybody here is going to have a different criteria for what makes a club legend. And I think Harrison Burrows will fill some people's criteria. You know, the memory of winning the Bristol Street Motors Trophy alone will be a criteria tick for some people. So I can 100% see the argument of why people think it's a club legend. And especially the age obviously comes into it. But not for me. But I just wanted to say that, you know, I think really he's an amazing player and a player that I'll remember for the rest of my life. So
I think that the important thing for me is that a singular moment doesn't make somebody a legend. Yes, he scored two fantastic goals at Wembley to win us a trophy, but it's not something that makes you a legend. I don't think that he wins the League One Player of the Year if he doesn't score those goals. I think that's part of the reason that he got that. Yes, he did have a fantastic season, but a moment doesn't make a legend. It's got to be over 2 or 3 years for me, which is part of the reason maybe why we struggle with legends at Posh, because we don't have them here for all that long to make them a legend type thing.
You know, if I'm honest, I reckon Peter Burrow is a bigger legend than fucking Harrison Burrow. Don't get me wrong, he had a half-decent season last year. He's been indifferent, maybe because we didn't know if he was a winger or a defender or a wing back. Because, you know, let's be honest, he was getting a load of criticism for his performances. Yeah, he's been with the club for donkey's years. But no, good luck to lad. He deserved his chance to move on because of what his peers thought of him last season. You know, you don't win the player of the season for being shit, do you? So good luck to him. Move on. Not a legend for me. The legendary status has got to be coming from, don't even have to be a good player. It just needs to be somebody that, you know, fights for the team, works for the team, longevity. You know, a couple of examples there. For me, Gabby Zakwani is a club legend, you know. And the reason for me is, you know, he was with us quite a while. Oh, shut up. He was with us quite a while. You know, the guy was literally walked through walls for us. You know, he was injured, he'll go out, broken feet, he'll go out and play, he'll put his head through anything for us, and he turned into a fan's favorite. So for me, I think he's a legend. George Boyd, I think, is on the fence for me, and then for me the last real proper legend is Mick Alsall back in the day. Yeah, so legend gets used far too much for, you know, everybody could be a legend. For example, you know, say he's been there since he was the age of six. You know, am I a legend because I've been supporting Peterborough 40 years? He's like, I don't know, Steve Thorpe, he's been going to like nearly 2,000 home games, for example. Is he a legend? You know, what determines a legend? Everybody has their own opinion. So I'm going to chuck it out to you guys. I know, John, you've said that Boyd's a legend, but what is everybody's view? Who is the last legend, in your opinion, that's been for Peterborough?
Sorry, Dale, I think you've yourself short there. I think you're a legend, Dell. If there was a Peterborough United, you know, fan base sort of culture, and they'd go, all right, who are the legends of the fan base? I think Dell, you know, you're very recognisable. You know everyone. I think you would go down in the legend category. So I think you sold yourself short there. But
okay, that's nice of you. Go on. That's nice of you to say that. But, you know, we're not talking about fans. We're talking about players.
Okay. Well. Anyway, not. Oh, one thing I would say is that I think I see no reason why Zach Kouani would be a legend and, for example, Burrows wouldn't. First of all, I don't know when Burrows has ever not given his all on the pitch. I would love you to name me a time where you think Burrows has been lazy, because for me, he gets up and down the left-hand side as much as he can every single game. He chips in with goals. He chips in with defensive blocks. He's not scared to make tackles. He's a little bit of like shithouse energy that you want from a player, you know, where he shushes home crowds and he riles up the crowd and, you know, he gets stuck into players. That's a player that I think has legend status. You mentioned like Zach Kouani. He played for Cobblers, didn't he? I mean, going to one of Posh's biggest rivals, does that not revoke some legend status? Why would we put him, just because he played through an injury, over a player that didn't need to play through an injury because he didn't really get any big ones? And a player that has come through our academy and is probably the biggest example of success of the DMACC era in terms of the academy and in terms of bringing young players through.
Well, that's your opinion. I'm happy for you to have your opinion. I'm going to stick with Zakrani. And also, I think it was last pod when I said Mick Alsall was my favourite player and all that malarkey, you know, he went to play for Cambridge at the end or manage Cambridge. We all make mistakes. You know, Gabby had kids to feed. You know, we let him go. He had kids to feed. You can't knock somebody for, like, feeding their kids, can you? You know, and I think you're being a bit rude there, Charlie.
I can't believe you used the argument you can't knock someone for feeding their kid as a rebuttal to me saying that Harrison Burrows is a Peterborough United legend. I mean, that's that's unbelievable. I'll shut up now about that argument, but wow.
Going back to Dell's original question, which was who we think is the last legend at Posh, I do have a question for Charlie. Charlie, you think Burrows is the only club legend in your time supporting the club. What would Johnson Clark Harris have needed to have done to reach legendary status in your eyes?
Oh, I can't lie. I forgot Johnson Clark Harris existed, and that's my fault. I mean, listen, I don't think anywhere near got the esteem that the Burrows did. But Johnson Clark Harris probably is a club legend. You're right. I mean, you know, that season where he got us promoted, you know, season he scored so many goals for us, top scorer three seasons in a row, League One top scorer, two golden boots, you know, in a row. He's a club legend for me. Him and Burrows are probably the only two, but Burrows is above him in my eyes.
No, Johnson Clark Harris got two golden boots, so two very exceptional seasons in League One. He carried the reputation of Peterborough United having a 30 a season goal scoring striker, filling the shoes of Ivan Toney, who is probably the best striker we've had in our entire history. And on top of all that, we chose not to give him a new deal. We tried to sell him, and he stayed in the dressing room, giving his experience, carrying all these youngsters through for the entire of the duration of last season, without complaining once.
Yeah, but we didn't want him to do that, did we? I mean, we wanted to sell him and getting off the wage bill so we could sign Kyoso in January. Let's not be funny. He didn't stay as a gesture of goodwill. He stayed so that he could get a big move, big money move that we knew we wouldn't give him, and that he could get a massive sell on last summer. Let's be honest about it. That is what happened. It's not as if we were like, oh, Jono, please stay and hold Ricky and Malik's hand. You know, we really want you to. We tried to get rid of him. And we could he wouldn't budge. That was the problem. He wouldn't budge. So
he's the highest paid player. He could have easily have just kicked the ball around the training pitch every week, not made up fake injuries so he couldn't play. He could have stunk the club out.
we didn't want him to play. We didn't want him anywhere near the club. Let's be real. We wanted him.
Are you telling me the games that Johnson Clark-Harris came off of the bench for, who would you have brought on if he didn't exist or if he was rotting away in the reserves or if he'd left the club?
Malik, Ricky, just swap them two. I don't think there was
The games where they weren't available.
What do you mean when they weren't available? I don't think there was a game where Jono came up. Jono had to come off the bench, and we were like, "Oh, lads, we need Jono. You know, get Jono when we need him." I
was
think.
Burton away.
What about Burton away?
Barnsley at home.
Barnsley at home.
He started, and we were rubbish. It was a terrible performance because we had nobody pressing up front. I mean, he wasn't. You can't say that Jono had a massive influence on last season. He really didn't. And I think last he maybe season, had a Charlie, negative influence.
Charlie, before you embarrass yourself anymore, last season is by the by, right? Last season wasn't Clark-Harris's finest season. He was very professional for it. Fair credit to him. But if you look at Clark-Harris's copybook and history and body of work at Peterborough United, he is so far ahead of Harrison Burrows, who had one good season. And I don't care about what Harrison Burrows did for the under six because... Look, right, he came through the academy, but I really couldn't care less about who scores 20 goals a season for the under sixes. Clark-Harris got on two golden boots, and that penalty at Lincoln is the finest moment in recent club history.
Switch on here, John, for a second. Let's look at this, okay? Johnson Clark-Harris was a player who cost Peterborough United a lot of money. They spent over £1 million on him because they needed goals after Ivan Toney. He was, you know, he was brought in to be the Peterborough United striker that scores a lot of goals for us, gets us promoted and wins a golden boot. That's what he was brought in. He did his job. Harrison Burrows was a free hit. He was a player that we nurtured through the academy, who came up, who won us a trophy at Wembley pretty much single-handedly, who got 30 goal contributions from left back in a season that we'd all written off before, who embodied everything last season that the fans want to see in a Peterborough United team. Johnson Clark-Harris was
I'm stepping in. Okay, he played left back and we shoehorned him in there and then played a system that meant that he could be as progressive as he was. It wasn't the fact that he was at left back that it meant that he got all of those gold contributions. We played a system that fit around him being that spearhead of our attacks and putting balls into the box and overlapping Mason Clark and being there for Mason Clark to cut back. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to jump in now, Charlie, because you've been waffling bollocks. Right, first of all, you jumped in and you said Johnson Clark-Harris is a club legend. Is that correct?
I did. Well, I said he's smaller than Harrison.
No more talking. It was a yes or no question. You then carried on saying, oh, I forgot about Johnson Clark-Harris. So how can he be a fucking legend if you can't even remember him?
Okay. Listen, Del, I forget a lot of stuff.
I'm still talking.
And then, you took a very long pause.
No, and then, well, and then you've gone on slating him, saying he shouldn't have been playing any games last season and he's only here for the money. So I'm not sure what way you're coming. So to nullify your opinion, your opinion doesn't matter anymore because you don't even know what you're trying to say. One minute he is, one minute he isn't. And the other thing is, you can't even remember him. All right? So for the sake of this podcast, Clark-Harris is not a legend. Having said all of that, I've never been a fan of Clark-Harris, as everybody knows. I think he's shit. I thought he's a lazy git. The best attitude that I've seen from him was when it was confirmed that he ain't going to be playing anymore for us. His attitude was first class. His support to the players. We'll go back to Salford away when it was penalties. He was on and he was really geeing people up. His attitude, his motivation and everything from that point on was very good. But he's still never going to be a club legend, in my opinion.
Del, I'll just jump in because I do disagree with you. I do think that Johnson Clark-Harris is a club legend. And I think that Johnson Clark-Harris is, for my era of supporting the club anyway, I think Johnson Clark-Harris is a club legend. I agree with all the points that people have made on Burrows, but I don't know how a guy who won his promotion and won two back-to-back golden boots can't be a club legend. And, you know, your criteria, as you mentioned earlier, was, you know, somebody that works hard, somebody that runs through brick walls for you. And Johnson Clark-Harris might not fit that criteria, but for the vast majority of people, I think that criteria is fit for Johnson Clark-Harris. I think he was a phenomenal player, and I don't think we would have really got promoted, or he wouldn't have had the personal accolades that he got, you know, without him being him.
Okay, last thing on it. Last thing on it, right? Okay, so he won two golden boots, fair play. He done fuck all else. Okay, based on the fact that he got a golden boot, is Christy Pum a legend for getting a golden glove?
In the dinosaur community, maybe, but
I feel there's an element of clutching at straws. I think that's a completely different. I feel that's a completely different argument to have. I really do feel that, you know, you say, yeah, he won two golden boots, fair enough, but he didn't do anything else. What more do you want him to do? He's a striker. That's literally what you know, we employ him to do, was score goals, and that's what he did. And he got us promoted. So I don't know what else he can do as a striker, though.
No, he's done all right, but he's not a legend. Anyway, let's move on.
So I'm gonna throw something back at you all and say that in the last 20 years, there is only one legend that's been at the club, and it's not a player, it's Fergie. What he does year in, year out, rinse and repeat. Like I said, I tweeted yesterday saying it's what we do. We get rid of players and we bring new in. Fergie is the only legend in my view. There's no players. It's only Ferguson for doing the same thing, whether it's this season, last season, the season before, whether he's been here four or five times, he consistently does it for us.
I don't disagree with Ash. Non-playing legends, I actually think we've got a few. I think Barry Fry is a legend. There's an argument to be had whether Dara is a legend or not. He probably needs to leave the club for us to make that decision. I'm more interested in Ashley's comment about us not having a legend in the last 20 years. Ashley, what makes a legend in your eyes? Because surely we've had at least one playing legend.
I just don't like to get too attached to people because I know that they're going to move on. But maybe that's my problem, and that's my view, is that you get too attached to someone, you feel like you miss them. When somebody leaves, you know my view. When somebody leaves the club, they're gone. That's it. They're not our problem anymore. Similar to what Del said previously. Yes, cool. It's fantastic that they're doing well, but we don't have people here for long enough to make them legends. That's why it's only Fergie for me.
I think you can class George Boyd as a legend. I mean, how long was he here? Nearly a decade. I think if you're not classing any players over the last 20 years as legends, you're going to be very hard pushed to class any Posh player ever as a legend, because we've lived through one of the most successful eras of Peter United history. I think if you look back to, in my opinion, the legends we have, the last one is Johnson Clark Harris. I think you can look at Boyd, McLean, Mikhail Smith, probably Zaquani, Grant McCann. And I'd say in my time of supporting Posh, those are probably all the legends. I think beneath that, and this is where the lines sort of get merged, is that icon tier, which is where I might put Burrows and the likes of Smodix and Roddy Edwards and people like that, that didn't, for me, quite break into that legendary category of players that really served the club well, got us two promotions, one promotion, you know, that were really, really key players over an elongated period of time. And that, for me, is the difference. But if you're not going to class players in this era as Posh legends, then I don't think you can class players of almost any era as Posh legends. And I'm not sure you'll ever find one, Ashley.
I don't disagree with that. Obviously, I'm only 20 years into supporting Posh. But if I really want to say what is a legend to me, or what would we do to honour a legend, it's the statue thing, isn't it? If you had to pick anybody in the last 20 years, are you giving George Boyd a statue outside the front of London Road? It's only Fergie for me that goes in as a statue. We've got Tommy Robson in the pipeline and Chris Turner. It's only those three for me.
I'm warming towards what Ash has got to say, to be honest. I'm still having Zaquani as a legend because I love the bloke. But yeah, you're probably right. Statue is what makes you legendary. What's his name? Who's our manager? Fergie. Right? Is he a legend? I don't know. I think if he kept coming in, if he didn't keep coming and going, he may have more legendary status. But the fact that he's here goes, oh, it's not working, I'm going, I'm back, is a legend. Do you know what I mean? I just don't get it. Was it four times he's been with us? Four times.
Yeah.
I actually believe five times, is it? Four and a half. I actually, you know, I don't think he's going to see out the season this year. That's my...
I don't think with Darren Ferguson, he's the only manager under Darragh to get us into the Championship, and he's done it three times. Out of all of the other managers that Darragh has appointed, only Darren Ferguson is the one to have done it. And what is he, the only second, only the second manager to get us into that division in our entire history? I don't think you can dispute that he's a legend at all, in my eyes.
Well, Lods, hang on. I want to ask you then. Your whole thing was about, you know, making a sacrifice for the club. What sacrifice would you say Darren Ferguson has made for Peterborough United?
It's got to be different for non-playing staff, isn't it? It's got to be. Because players' careers are a lot shorter. We gave Darren Ferguson his first opportunity. I think he was only like 38, I think, maybe even younger than that when he first joined us as a manager. And it was back then, appointing someone with no experience whatsoever in the Football League was just unheard of. And we gave him that chance. He returned the favour by getting us back-to-back promotions. He did go over to other clubs, didn't work out, and he's come back to us. But he could still have another 20 years as a manager. So you can't say a player has those same situation as what Darren Ferguson has had or will have.
I'd say it's very, very much possible. I mean, you think about, you know, you're talking about off the pitch legends, Barry Fry. What a sacrifice he made. You know, he did, he even put his house up for mortgage or put his house on the line, club, whatever it, that was. You know, I think that you can definitely sacrifice something as a manager. You know, Fergie, let's be real, he's left, you know, he's been here five times, but he's left, what, four times or left three times. So he's not, you know, sacrificed. When he got fed up in the Championship season because he didn't feel backed, he didn't sacrifice and just grind it out because he to be at the club, you know, and because he didn't do it for the fans, you know, he left. So yeah, I don't know about Fergie as a legend. I think he needs maybe a bit more of a longer spell soon in this spell, and then he'll maybe be a legend. But I think if he jumps ship, especially this season, as Dell's just predicted, I don't think he fits that category at all.
Fergie only got relegated once from the Championship, right? Which was the Crystal Palace game, yeah?
Yeah, but he pretty much got relegated from the Championship in the 2021-22 season.
The stats don't lie.
Okay. Well, we can debate Fergie at another point. You know what? When Fergie inevitably leaves at some point again, we'll do a pod debating his legend status. But for now, we'll move on.
Yeah, I think I just wanted to jump in because obviously we started this topic on Harrison Burrows and we've gone all the way around and somehow we're talking about whether Ferguson's a club legend. And I think it's important as a pod, whether you think Harrison Burrows is or isn't a club legend, I think it's important that we acknowledge his contribution a little bit more than what we have. And I think last season, Burrows obviously was an undoubtedly our player of the season. I thought he was great. I thought he improved a lot. I really enjoyed watching him. I thought the way that he transitioned into that left-back role, which potentially wasn't his favourite when he first came through, and really made it his own and became a real creative asset of the team was great. I thought he stepped up and became a leader. I love seeing him take penalties all of a sudden. And I thought he was the perfect example for Peterborough of how we like to develop players and improve them, work on their faults. He became a much better defender with us. And look, he's going to have to kick on again at Sheffield United. I think there are still some question marks over whether he can perform defensively at the top of the Championship. But if he keeps progressing at the level that he did at Peterborough, then he should be in good stead. And I think it's important to recognise his service to the club. And he will definitely go down, as like I say, in that icon category. And certainly in the modern day era, and I'm talking of the last 5 years, he's been one of the best servants we have. So all the best to Harrison. I think that should probably round off the debate.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm completely fed up of what these lot have to say. So I want to hear what you have to say at home. So, you know, hit us up on the socials, Up the Podcast, Twitter, YouTube comments, anywhere that you can sort of get your opinion across. And let us know, do you think Harrison Burrows is a post legend? And if he's not, what do you have to do to qualify for the legend status? But yeah, that's the end of episode four. So next Saturday is two friendlies with Notts County, and then the final podcast of pre-season before the real stuff starts. So that will be good. And yeah, we'll end it there. So thank you for joining us. Follow us on all of our social media, subscribe on YouTube, give us a 5-star review if you're listening on Spotify. And yeah, thank you for listening. And up the posh.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback, give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss, or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
The Posh.
Fucking bring back Harry.